Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Are you tired of this reality? Us too. How about once a week you take a break and visit a different reality? In Jack Billings Presents Haunted Apartment Complex, we bring you a comedy podcast full of ghosts, werewolves, gentle vampires, and Frankenstein monstrosities made of 72 people stitched together. And somehow, that's not even the strange stuff. A proud member of the Podmoth Network. Every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts. There's nothing wrong with your audio. I've been a ghost this whole time. Shyamalan Twist!
Hey, you. Yeah, you. Do you like cracking into curious creatures? Perhaps you ponder the paranormal. Have you ever got a hankering for the haunted? Ever entertained the existence of extraterrestrials? Or have you ever just wanted to hear genuine encounters of any kind? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, then Cryptids, Creeps, and Conspiracy Podcast is right up your alley. So grab your sense of humor and open your mind as we take a journey to uncover the mysteries behind kooky critters, spooky specters, enigmatic entities, and the controversial conspiracies that surround them. Buckle up, because we're going to have a good time.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us at another episode of Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy. How are you doing today, Declan?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. So, what story do you have for us today, Declan?
I'm going to be talking about Lloyd Avery II, which might not sound familiar, but you might have seen him before in a clip.
Okay. No, the name does not sound familiar. I am going to be telling you another story about Peru. We're going back to Nazca, where we did the Nazca lines last week. And this one is the Nazca mummies.
Okay, yes. I kept meaning to do this one because they bring it up on fucking all the podcasts I listen to all the time. But I've just always forgotten it. But it's super interesting, so I'm happy to hear the details of this.
And to go with
you, better not
story,
tell me that it's fake. Better not say that.
We'll see. We'll see.
We're not gonna entertain that notion.
Okay. The drink I have to go with this story is named The Mummy.
Pretty straightforward.
Not very original. Yeah. The ingredients are 2 ounces of vodka, 1 ounce of triple sec, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, and club soda. The steps are to mix your vodka, triple sec, and lemon juice in an old-fashioned glass, half full of ice, and then top with club soda and stir. Are you ready? I think it's going to be fairly boring.
I think it's
going to
be fine, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very non-offensive, just straightforward.
Pretty lemony.
Yeah. It's like a white person margarita.
Kind of, yeah.
Vodka.
But with vodka.
Lemon instead of tequila and lime.
Yeah. It's not very good, actually. It's kind of bitter from the, I don't know, maybe it's the vodka I used, but I've used that vodka before, and it's been totally fine. I don't know. Or it's the club soda.
It's kind of like a least offensive gin and tonic almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fine.
I want it to be sweeter.
I think you could drink a lot of these and not have an issue the next day, but that's probably the only benefit of it.
Pretty much. It doesn't taste particularly yummy.
No.
I'd rather waste my alcohol dollars on something else. Or my alcohol calories on something else.
Oh, I like to think about what's going to make me feel better the next day. And tequila shots are usually the answer. It's just tequila and lime.
That,
it's the simplest of drinks.
I could never. I'm not drinking tequila at all, period. It just tastes so gross.
You're not adding enough lime then.
Is that
with
it?
The lime, it tastes so good. It's like smoky and and I only drink it.
I don't like smoky stuff though.
But, true.
No.
Like barbecue.
I'm good without it. Yeah, that's the only thing smoky I like is barbecue. Okay, let's go talk about our mummies that you said.
Okay, I'm excited.
Have to be real.
They have to be.
I mean, they really do exist. They really do exist. Let's put it that
way. They really are. Okay, you tell your story before.
We're going to talk about it.
Telling spoilers.
Last episode, we discussed the Nazca lines in Peru, and we're going back there to discuss more interesting finds from that region. The desert of South Peru stretches wide under an unforgiving sun, and on the barren, rocky plains north of the small city of Nazca lie some of the most mysterious marks etched into the earth by ancient hands referred to as the Nazca Lines. If you hadn't listened to last week's episode, or if you're listening to this in reverse, then you don't have to listen to that one first. Like I said, this is a part two, but they're not really... The only thing related to them is the fact that they both are from the same area. Although the true meaning behind the lines is not fully known, it's not the only mystery from the area. Beyond those mystifying designs, a new and controversial chapter in this region's history has unfolded in recent years. One that blends archaeology with sensational claims, scientific inquiry with fringe speculation, and a struggle over heritage and truth. Today's episode, we're going to be unpacking the story of the so-called Nazca mummies.
Okay.
Who they allegedly are supposed to be, where they reportedly came from, what investigations have been done, and why so much of the scientific community remains skeptical, while others are just scratching their heads and going, I don't know. That's kind of where I am, and I don't know. To understand the context of the controversy, it helps to discuss the cultural and geographical setting. The Nazca culture thrived on the arid southern coast of Peru from approximately 200 BC to about 600 CE. Again, what those mean, whatever, don't care. For about 100 years, they are best known for creating the Nazca lines that we discussed last episode, like I mentioned. These are vast geoglyphs in the desert that form the shapes that are in the form of shapes of animals, plants, and geometric figures visible from above and engineered with remarkable precision, which definitely leaves a lot of questions as to how and why. And we've got more how and whys with these mummies.
How and why? Alien spaceship and because they look cool.
Yes. Yeah. The region's hyper-dry climate also helped preserve organic material over long periods, including human remains. Mummification, both natural and intentional, was practiced by several Andean cultures, including those in Peru's coastal and highland zones. Essentially, mummies are not unusual in that culture.
When I think of Peru, I don't think of like the desert. Do you? I think of like Machu Picchu, which is like a super foresty green area. Looks like it has high humidity for the how high up it is, but like,
yeah,
I don't think of dry, arid spots. So no. I feel like it'd be hard to preserve a mummy there for a long time.
But this area around Nazca is dry. I mean, okay, everybody, think about Oregon. Most people think about Portland
yeah,
and well, along the I-5 being
and
rainy
and then
and don't think about
Klamath.
Yeah. Klamath, where it's high desert and it's dry.
Okay, good point.
Yeah. The story of the Nazca mummies began less with a scientific expedition, like when most mummies are found. It wasn't like an archaeological dig. It started with a claim posted online in early 2017. According to reports, a group of local grave robbers had illegally excavated archaeological sites and made a strange discovery. They claimed to have found a series of mummified bodies in a cave in the Nazca region of Peru around 2015 or 2016. Details about the exact location and date are minimal. These remains didn't look like the typical Andean mummies either. They were reported
There's
to have
other mummies.
Well, yes, because like we said, it's common for them to have human mummified bodies because they did that in that culture. They would mummify people, or they would end up mummified because of the circumstances of where they died. So, but these aren't your typical. These don't look like humans. We'll just throw that out there. They sort of do, but they sort of don't.
I just want to throw in a little fact. A bunch of rich European people in like the 1800s, a symbol of status would be to eat mummy meat. So I just wanted people to know that.
I didn't need to hear that while I had a mouthful of my cocktail because I almost spit it out on my mic.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I said, these did not look like human mummies. They were reported to have three-fingered hands and feet. So instead of five, we got three-digit hands and feet, elongated skull, and in some cases, they were very, very tiny. They were like a foot and a half. Tall.
This sounds like a combination of all the characters from the freak show American Horror Story season.
Right.
Yes. They got Lobster Boy. They got the short person.
Yes. Early footage of these mummies was posted online and captured the attention of a Mexican journalist and UFO enthusiast. He was big into UFOs and he just glommed onto this and was like, ha ha. So he was running around telling everybody about these mummies. He had a long history of promoting alleged extraterrestrial discoveries before many of them were debunked. So the fact that he's interested in this, he's been interested in stuff like this before, and it came out that it was fake in the past. So people are a little leery when he attaches his name to it. Anyway. I didn't bring his name into it because to me, it's not super relevant. We're here to talk about the mummies, not the journalist. But he wanted to cover the story of the mummies so that they would gain some interest in a larger audience internationally. In June 2017, a video was published showing an expedition to examine the mummies near Nazca and suggesting that they might represent an unknown biological entity, possibly even non-human, aka alien.
Unless they have very severe birth defects. I mean, yeah. You don't really get three-fingered little people with giant heads.
Right. And the giant head is not shaped like a normal head. It's it's long.
Like a squid
but they're, I mean, you could say, yes, birth defect, but then all of these mummies that they found have the exact same birth defects, which kind of odd. But what began as an online footage soon escalated into a public spectacle. In 2023, two mummified bodies were presented to Mexican Congress. They were labeled as non-human in origin with a claim that the DNA was not from any known earthly evolution. Again, aka alien. Additionally, they were claimed to be carbon dated at around 1,000 years old. The claims ignited international debate. Skeptics of the presentation cited a big problem, though. It all goes back to there was no independent peer-reviewed scientific study confirming the claims that they were alien. Which, in the scientific community, if you don't have those things, it's just considered bullshit.
Yeah.
Why they're not pursuing it, and maybe they are, I don't know, but we will talk about some stuff that's happened recently, though. That was 2023. In January 2024, scientists from Peru's Institute of Legal Medicine and Forensic Sciences presented findings on different but similarly described and smaller specimens. These were the ones that were like a foot and a half, foot-ish tall. They concluded that some of these so-called quote-unquote alien mummies were basically just dolls. They had been constructed from human bones and had been stitched together with animal bones and glue.
So were those the ones that were presented to the Mexican Congress in 2023, I want to say?
No, they were not.
No? Okay, because those... No. Were also determined to be dolls somehow. I don't remember how, but
yes,
they were determined to be phony. But
I, from what I was getting in my research, they were different mummies from Peru's Institute of Legal Medicine and the ones Mexican Congress. They were not believed to be the same mummies, the
place
same specimens
or whatever.
Yeah, okay. Nobody knows. They just showed up in a box and they were like, hey, let's test these. Oh, these are human and animal bone fragments and they're held together with glue. Pretty obvious. I mean, I don't understand why anybody would go to the effort to do that and do it in a way that was so easily determined to be a hoax.
Probably didn't know it would be that easy to determine.
Okay.
Like, oh, this looks like an alien. I could trick some people into giving me money.
True. But I mean, when it's investigated and they're looking at it and they're like, oh, there's a weird sticky residue. I wonder what that is. Oh, it's super glue? Okay. I mean, you can tell where glue is and
really
test it.
An alien, maybe their bones are made out of glue.
Maybe maybe their bones are made out of glue. Maybe that's joints, what's coursing say. Through their blood vessels yeah. is just
it's gorilla glue.
Super glue. Yep. Gorilla glue. Yep. Other experts interpreted the visual features, such as elongated skulls, that and they stated that they could have resulted from known cultural practices. For example, ancient Andean societies, they would bind the skulls of infants to create it in an elongated formation.
Those things that I don't want
to. I know the things that we do to.
But because like right. there's other cultures like the. African neck stretching, like where
yes.
they put rings over like mm-hmm. while they get older. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like the ear thing or the lip discs that they do where it's like a plate on their lip.
Yes.
And they just keep getting.
Oh, I hate it. It's scary. It makes me so uncomfortable. I mean, I get it. It's a cultural thing. I'm not saying it's good, bad, or indifferent. It just makes me uncomfortable to think about doing that to myself. No.
I don't even like ear gauges. Those freak me out.
No. Oof. No thanks. Despite the strong skepticism from mainstream scientists, not all voices call the case closed. Within the UFO and other research communities, there continue to be claims of anomalies in the scans and fingerprint patterns that proponents argue do not match typical human morphology. Meaning, there's some stuff that they're like, this is not normal. One such claim involves a forensic examination suggesting that the specimen's fingerprint ridges did not have the swirly marks, the loops and the whorls that if you look at your own finger, you can see all of the different little markings on your fingerprint. Mm-hmm. And these did not have that. They were just, you could see ridges for a fingerprint, but they were straight lines. They
like
weren't
a gecko almost.
No, they were just straight lines. No swirly loops like normal fingerprints. So, of course, some people are saying that's not normal human stuff. Therefore, it must be a mummy. Or, sorry, must be an alien. Some recent CT scans and advanced medical imaging of different and larger mummies showed some interesting findings as well. Several specimens of different apparent ages and development were examined. Carbon dating of these samples were dated to about 1700 years old. The specimens had several unique qualities, including the three fingers and three toes comprised of extra phalanges per digit. So not only are there three fingers or three toes, but they're super, super long and they have extra joints in them. So the bones are long, but imagine taking one finger and adding it to the other
joint.
And it's got all, extra bones and extra joints.
Ooh, that's gross.
I agreed. Similar elongated skulls were also seen compared to the previous samples. There were extra cervical vertebrae in the neck imaging. Some of the samples had fused forearm bones. So the radius and ulna, the two bones and the forearm, were actually fused together and were not separate. Some of them had unusually shaped rib cages and some had extra ribs, which, not to be a downer, people in general have medical anomalies. I have numerous medical anomalies in my spine, and I know a lot of people do as well. But in general, there's a lot of weird stuff with these mummies. One of them, at least one of them, had an unusually elongated heart that was more tubular in shape. And some of them had potentially differently positioned reproductive canals. Not quite sure what that all meant, but some of the specimens also have metallic objects implanted into the bones. One had a metal implant in part of the jaw, which if you're low end of the aging spectrum of these mummies, 1,000 years, right?
He got the Zac Efron surgery.
It was right.
put a bolt in his jaw.
Well, it was shaped like a jaw. I saw the video of it. It was shaped like a normal lower jaw, but it was metal. You could see on the CT imaging, it was metallic, and they could see discoloration like it was metal that had started to corrode. Very, very strange. One of the mummies appeared to contain a fetus, while younger ones appeared to have eggs in the abdomen.
I just want to say these motherfuckers look like E.T. in the skin. Yeah,
they look freaky.
E.T. phone home.
Also, there was no evidence of any artificial fabrication in the examination of these mummies. They didn't find any glue. And if that wasn't confusing enough, a few other strange specimens were found in the desert in 2025. These bodies have the standard tridactyl hands and feet, but also have some type of tail and structure that appear to be wings.
Wings?
Wings.
Aliens can fly now? What the hell?
Apparently, they don't need UFOs. They're just going to fly around because they have wings. I don't know. These ones are definitely weirder. And the only thing that kind of links them together is where they were found. But this whole tail thing that they're showing in them, I don't know. Pretty weird. I'm not saying it's real, it's fake, it's whatever, because it's a newer discovery. But it definitely goes, makes you go, what the fuck is going on in the Peru desert?
I wonder if they were like a weird branch civilization, because we had the Neanderthals, but there was also another like subspecies of human, I guess, if you want to call it that, that was
been
like
several
hunted to extinction by like Europeans, because they hunted them for sport and they wiped out a bunch of like, it was like smaller humans. So I wonder if there was like a different subsect of human.
Maybe. I don't know.
And because it was so small and weird and it got
steamrolled
by us, maybe. I don't know. That's weird.
Could be. Most of the scientific community in regards to these mummies are saying that they're dolls and they're fake and they, you know, somebody manufactured them for whatever purpose and don't believe that they have any extraterrestrial alien origin and that they're, you know, not real. But
explain
there's
it to me then.
Other than new information coming out all the time. So I will leave it at that because I don't know, but it's weird.
Definitely weird, that's for sure.
Yes. Okay. Lloyd Avery II? Never heard that name before.
I don't think you've seen the movie that he's most famous for, but you may have seen the clip, and I'll get into it. So, Lloyd was born on June 21st, 1969, to parents Lloyd and Linda Avery. Lloyd Sr. was an electrician, plumber, and carpenter who ran his own business, so he was just kind of all-around handyman.
Nice.
Linda was a stay-at-home mom until her children grew older, and then she started working for a bank. Lloyd and his three siblings grew up in a fairly well-off neighborhood and lived a fairly normal life. Lloyd went to Beverly Hills High School and played basketball and water polo. Jokes to be made there, but I'm not going to do it. This is where he met and became friends with the kids of a lot of super upper echelon Hollywood people like Smokey Robinson and Quincy Jones.
Oh.
Because this is Beverly Hills High School.
Beverly Hills. Like, yes.
Really rich people.
Fancy schmancy.
Yes.
Bougie, if you will.
He did fairly well at school. And after high school, he went to a technical college in L.A. While continuing his education, he would end up in some legal trouble like fights and stealing or whatnot. But his father, being a self-made businessman, wanted better for his son after seeing him getting in this legal trouble. However, Lloyd had his vision set on the music industry. I mean, I guess if you're friends with Smokey Robinson's kid, it's probably a lot easier to get in.
Yeah. And you might be more inclined to want to go down that route because your friend is, you know,
famous
musically inclined. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
even if he's not musically inclined, he knows someone who is.
Right.
Help him out, but.
For anyways,
sure. While in college, Lloyd met John Singleton while he was still a film student at USC. The two got along well enough, but this friendship would be Lloyd's first break into Hollywood. John contacted Lloyd and offered him a role in his upcoming film, Boys in the Hood. Have you? I don't think you've seen that movie, have you?
I think I have, but it was a million years ago, so I could watch it today and not remember any of it.
You'd probably only remember the one scene that I'll talk about later, but
okay.
There's one very, very famous scene in the movie, and even if you haven't seen it, you've seen the scene.
Okay,
like,
gotcha.
I just recently watched the movie, like, 2 weeks ago, and then I found out about this story later, and I was like, oh shit.
Okay. Gotta do it.
The film Boys in the Hood is a coming-of-age movie about boys in South Central LA navigating gang life. So it follows, like, middle schoolers up until they're adults.
Okay.
Like, the group of boys that are all friends together.
Gotcha.
Lloyd's character was called Knucklehead Number Two. If you haven't seen the movie, you've probably seen the clip I'm referring to, but it's one of the main characters, Ricky, gets shot and killed in an alleyway by Knucklehead Number Two. And while he's running, the guy with the, I can't remember the actor's name, but he's like, Ricky, and then he gets shot in the back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ricky was a very loved character, so it sparked a lot of controversy in the movie. But
gotcha.
Knucklehead Number Two, played by Lloyd Avery, was the man who pulled the trigger. While he only had a few minutes of screen time, he became publicly recognized as the guy who killed Ricky. He had, like, I think it was like less than 10 lines or something, but he was a very...
Okay.
He wasn't in the movie at all, and then he killed one of the main characters. Now he's the star of the movie.
Clearly not considered a big role because they didn't even give him a name.
No, he didn't have a name. And
he didn't have
people get him confused with another person in the... Like, I was watching a bunch of stuff, and people kept calling him Monster, which is a different character. This guy is just sitting in the passenger side of his best friend's ride, shooting Ricky in the back. TLC song.
No.
So after his role in the movie, he was cast in some other things like Doogie Howser, M.D., Poetic Justice, the film Lockdown, the show Lockdown, and even produced a song for Trisha Campbell. I don't know who that is, but starting to go in his music career journey, producing songs for people and stuff. But
cool.
Lloyd eventually let his success get to his ego and would end up making his friend John Singleton upset with him, essentially being cast out of Hollywood, as John was the main person giving him roles.
Mm.
Lloyd ended up moving to a neighborhood that had a lot of gang activity. So he's coming from basically like Beverly Hills area, super rich people to, I think it was actually the neighborhood he moved to was the one in the end of Training Day.
Oh, okay.
Where
bad stuff happens in those neighborhoods in that movie.
Lots of gang activity.
Yes.
With Boys in the Hood being so popular with gang members, obviously it's a movie about gangs and stuff.
Gangs.
Lloyd was seen as Knucklehead Number Two rather than Lloyd Avery.
Okay. He is his character in the eyes of a lot of people.
Shooting Ricky in the back, and they're like, well, that's you. And he just kind of let it get to him, get to his head.
Gotcha.
He kept trying other auditions, but his knucklehead role was taking over his personality, even bringing guns to auditions and threatening producers' and directors' lives.
Oh, that does not bode well for getting a job.
Yes. So this would all come to a head on July 1st, 1999, when Percy Branch and Annette Lewis were resting under a tree in Santa Barbara. Lloyd approached the two and an argument erupted. Lloyd pulled out his gun and killed both of them before fleeing.
Oh, no, do that. That's not good. What were they arguing about?
So some people speculate it was for like drug debts, but there's been no like sure answer to why he killed them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Rough.
2 weeks after this, Lloyd was selected to star in the show Lockdown, which was a TV show about jail.
Okay.
But this role was just as short as his role in Boys in the Hood. He got caught smoking PCP on set and ended up freaking out and trying to break into an active section of the prison. So this show was filmed in a prison in Arizona, and they blocked off one set so they could have the actors in there.
Oh my God. One of the other
wings, it was still an active prison. So there was people, criminals, COs.
On the other side.
A normal prison on the other side. He freaked out after smoking PCP and getting caught and tried to break in there and was subsequently arrested.
Don't smoke PCP.
Yes. So this got him fired and kicked off the set. Lloyd kept trying to find more roles, but he had burned so many bridges that it wasn't working out for him. Eventually, he contacted an old roommate whose mom was a former talent agent. Mm. However, the two had stopped being friends a long time ago because Lloyd maced his mom, the talent agent lady. So when Lloyd contacted him and said, hey, can you ask your mom if I can get some help getting a role? The ex-roommate was fucking pissed.
He was like, no, bro, you maced my mom.
Yeah.
She's not going to want to talk to you ever again.
Yeah. So old roommate decided he was fed up with this shit and went to the police, told them everything he knew about Lloyd. Because he kind of knew.
They hadn't caught him for the murders in the park?
Nope. And then when he got arrested at the jail, they didn't connect him because they didn't have enough evidence yet. But when the roommate went to the police and told them about all that shit, the police had a better idea of what they were looking for. In December of 1999, police spotted him and arrested him. They found the gun used to kill Annette and Percy. Lloyd was given a life sentence and sent to Pelican Bay Prison. While in prison, he started to turn his life around. He started practicing religion, eventually even becoming like a prison preacher, basically.
Okay.
So, while in prison, Lloyd was assigned a bunkie named Kevin Roby, who was an admitted Satanist. So, you could see how there's some clashing there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Roby was arrested for assaulting and murdering his sister and blaming it on a satanic ritual.
Oh, good gravy.
So this guy's a real peach that is in knucklehead numbers to sell him. Lloyd would often try and preach to Kevin, hoping to save him from Satanism. Or
right. Satan right.
Or whatever the fuck. But Kevin was not having it. Kevin believed that if he could kill the preacher, he would be praised by Satan.
Mm.
Kevin attacked Lloyd and eventually strangled Lloyd to death. Kevin put Lloyd's body on the top bunk where it sat for 2 full days. He tied a string to Lloyd's hands, and when the guards would do cell checks, he would pull the strings and make it look like he was rolling around in his bed.
My God. Wow. What about food, though?
He was eating his food in the cell. So he'd get 2 meals instead of one because there's...
Right. Well, I didn't know if they were doing, like, if they were giving food in the cell or if they were, going to chow hall.
It sounded like they were getting food in their cell, but...
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure.
Wow.
After those 2 days... Kevin scratched a pentagram onto the floor, dragged Lloyd's body onto the pentagram, and wrote satanic symbols and sayings in Lloyd's blood.
Oh, this dude.
Since Kevin already had life without parole, Kevin was not charged for Lloyd's murder.
Wow.
Famous Hollywood actor killed by a Satanist in prison.
That is... Wild.
And he plays such a short role, and he doesn't have it. Yeah. Like, he's not a super famous actor, but you see his face before he kills Ricky. So, it, like, if you look at the clip, you see him.
Yeah. Holy cow.
It's not like he was Denzel Washington or something. Like, it was, yeah. It's so, such a weird story.
That is. I did not know where that story was going. So many turns and twists. Neither did I. Wild. Wild.
You have a chaser for us?
I do have a chaser. It is a watch recommendation for a show on the MGM Plus network, and it's called The Institute. Have you seen it yet? It is.
Maybe.
It's a new show.
It's a show?
Okay, it's a show. Not then.
I think it's looked at show. It and didn't start it.
It's really good. It's about the Institute is this place where kids get kidnapped and put there because they have special abilities.
That's why I didn't watch it. Because it sounded a lot like Umbrella Academy or whatever that weird
show is. It's
no,
okay. Dark.
It's dark?
It's super dark.
Okay, I'm going to have to watch that.
I think you'll like it. Okay. It's not... I liked Umbrella Academy, don't get me wrong. And those people had special abilities and the kids at the Institute have special abilities. But the whole thing is the Institute is trying to focus their special abilities and help them develop new ones so that they can use them for bad things.
Mm. Interesting. I'm going to have to check it out then. Because I know I read that description. It sounded kind of familiar, mm-hmm. but I was like,
yeah,
I didn't like Umbrella Academy, so I was like, I'll skip it. But
no, this is good. It's dark. I think you'll like it.
MGM has a lot of dark stuff on there. I didn't realize.
They do, and they've got a lot of good stuff on there. We've been down the MGM rabbit hole since we subscribed to it so we could watch From.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've found several good shows on there. Yeah. So
that's some good stuff on there.
That's a secondary recommendation. If you're looking for new shows and you're not finding anything good on the streaming services that you already have, consider paying for MGM for a short period of time and then go binge a bunch of cool shit.
Yeah.
What is your chaser today?
My chaser is a YouTube channel that I found. They do shorts and stuff, but I think they're probably bigger on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, but I just found him on YouTube at Frankie Fade, and he does these like skits kind of that are, it's like, oh, multiple generations of people, and it's like Gen X's, and they're like showing their parents a song, and then the parents hear the song and they're like, oh, here's where that song was sampled from. And since I love old music so much, it's really cool to hear like songs that I like, and then it's like, oh, here's what sampled that. And then he just started introducing like a grandpa generation basically. And it's like songs from the 70s that previous song had sampled. And so it's like super cool to see like the rabbit hole of songs. Like, cause you hear a song for the first time and you're like, oh, this is a great song. Like, This Is How We Do It. That song, like by, that sampled Slick Rick. And I had never known that. And I like the Slick Rick song more after watching this guy's videos and hearing the original sample. This is a Slick Rick children's story, I believe. And that's one of my favorite songs. So it's super cool to kind of like see the, I guess it is music history, but how deep like samples and songs and stuff
where
go.
They come from.
Like
how
it
cool.
affects each generation. Cause
right.
Like, you know, the song, This Is How We Do It.
Yeah. Right?
And like, you could probably sing along with it. But I don't know if you could sing along with Slick Rick, because that's
maybe older. Not. I don't. That doesn't sound familiar. That name doesn't sound familiar. Yeah,
but it, I don't know. I just find that kind of thing cool to like hear different generations of music, and they all sound somewhat similar, just like with a kick on.
I was gonna be offended by the fact that you said the grandpa generation and music from the 1970s. And then I realized that, yes, I was born in the 1970s. Yeah, you were born. I could be a grandparent.
You could.
Like,
but you also
I have friends
listening
that
to
are my age that are grandparents. And that is bizarre to me.
But you probably don't remember any songs from the year that you were born. Your parents probably
no,
do, though.
Probably.
Because.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's kind of like where you. So you don't,
I totally,
don't be too offended.
I'm not offended by that. I'm more offended by the fact that I.
You could be a grandparent.
A grandparent.
You're welcome.
That's bothersome to me.
Yeah. You're welcome. I'm not going that far yet.
I know. And I'm not saying grandparent, being a grandparent would probably be cool.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like I'm old enough to be that.
Yeah. You don't have gray hair yet. I feel like grandparents
well,
have
I
to have gray
do,
hair.
Well, I do, but it's covered with dye.
I got my first hair last month, or first gray hair.
You did? Wow, you're getting it early. I think I was in
my
30s.
Like a unicorn horn.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Only one that I've seen alfalfa. So far, but I got a lot of hair, so.
That's true,
maybe
you do.
They're hiding.
It could be. Could be.
I'm excited. When I found out, I was like, yes, I want to have salt and pepper hair already.
Well, you know, keep stressing out about shit and your hair will turn gray.
Don't worry. I got plenty to stress out about.
Yep. Don't we all?
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoyed
yes,
hearing
thank
that
you.
Story. I wanted to do it, so it's cool that I feel like you include more information and stuff than I do. So I'm glad to.
I had to do some research and watch some videos and piece some things together. I definitely was looking at different sources this time that I don't normally do. So tried to get some more info out there.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Love you, Mom.
Love you, bud. Bye.
Bye.